It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every room on the back of our house now has this bright, white, harsh light. The kitchen, turn off the lights. The kitchen is still bright as day. Our downstairs bathroom, our utility room. What if we have people stay in our spare bedroom? That one is bright light now. It just is ridiculous that you have to put this light up that disturbs all the people around you. It's one thing, I understand wanting to have a light in your backyard as much as it is more of a driveway. You want to have a light back there that deters any potential thieves or vandals or anyone who would seek to do you harm. I certainly understand that. But it doesn't need to be a light that's pointed in my backyard. I'm okay with having a backyard. I mean, that's the thing. It's like all of a sudden it went from being nice and dark, which I love about our neighborhood, and the fact that my yard is dark and I can sleep at night on the back of the house without having the disturbance. It's quiet. It's dark. To having this, I mean, I'm telling you, it is so bright and it's huge. It's the size of a street light and it's enormous. And so I understand that you want to have this protection, but just put a cover on it so it points down and not, instead it just has a white kind of opaque clear top on it. That shouldn't be okay.
Well, he probably has the wrong type of light on there, too. Like, backyard lights are different than a street light.
Oh, no, trust me. They want this to be a massive... It's a floodlight is what it is. It's so bright.
They want it to be a deterrent.
Yeah, if nothing else, then put a, you know, a cover around, like something around the side of it so it's not shining our direction. So when Bob asked him, can you point that in a different direction? Can you change the angle? Oh, it doesn't have an angle. It's just, and it's a bulb. It's not a like one of those directional lights. So it's a bulb and they just have a white opaque cover over it. And it's, yeah, it's beyond annoying. It's frustrating because, like I say, our entire backyard is now lit up, as well as the whole back of our house. And if they're going to do this every single night, we're going to have a conversation. You know, it reminds me of Christmas Vacation when when Chevy Chase and his family, they had so many lights that the people next door couldn't sleep. Yeah, it's a lot like that.
Yeah. Just don't fall down the stairs with a whole thing of food like it in that scene.
I get that it's his property, and you would think within reason he certainly can do what he needs to with lights back there. But at the same time, it shouldn't be a disturbance to the people around you. He also put one on the front of his garage. So I mentioned the garage faces so he's on the corner. The garage faces the opposite street. And he put a light on the front of that garage too. And so now I can imagine there's people on the other side of him going down the other block as well as across that street who are annoyed at it. So I don't think that it's just us, but we are going to contact the town, and I don't want to do that. I will knock. I know the neighbors, you know, Bob just moved in obviously 9 months ago. I know the neighbors better. They asked me last summer, hey, your pine trees in the back are laying on our garage. Can you get them trimmed? I did it right away. I got someone to come in and trim them and gave him plenty of space. And in fact, even cut everything that was over the fence onto their side, even though it wasn't laying on the garage anymore. And did it willingly. But this is, yeah, this to me, it seems like when my husband said something to him, they just didn't care. And I don't know if they would if it was me and not him. But yeah, that just, it seemed to disregard what, you know, how your neighbors are feeling is kind of rude.
Well, in somewhat their defense, not trying to do that, but they might be just thinking with a one-track mind with what happened. because the catalytic converters are a big thing. That those sets have become a big thing, especially in the tri-state area.
I have no issue with you putting a light up
no,
in back.
I agree.
Just it shouldn't be a light in back for us.
Right.
Like it should be your light, not our light. And so just,
he might be thinking he's doing a favor for everybody with these thefts.
And you know how harsh those white lights are.
Oh, they're too much.
It's like the type of halogen headlights now that you get on cars that come at you, and even when they're not on bright, you can't see anything. You're blinded. It's that kind of a light. It is bright, and the bulb is really big. And so, yeah, I have no issues with you wanting to protect yourself. Any kind of a light that you need, great. How about mount it on the fence so it's on the other side? So we have a fence, a 6-foot-high fence between our properties. His property's elevated because it's on a – it's so the I don't have a basement. I'm on a slab. His property is built up, and the basement actually stands out of the ground, and then you've got the two stories on top of that. So their foundation is raised and elevated, and so it's on their garage, which, again, is – right at the same level as our second story bedroom. But we do have a fence. Just put it on the fence on the other side so that you can shine that floodlight. I don't care if you want to put it on my fence. That's fine. Just not where we can't sleep at night.
Or get a dog. Get a dog.
They have a dog. They don't have a dog.
Do it another way.
So again, I'm not going to tell them how they determine to protect their property. It just shouldn't impact the people
us. You should not have to buy curtains, too.
Right. That's what I mean. I shouldn't have to be making adjustments in my own home for someone else's light. Just
Or have them buy you the curtains.
No, I don't want to put up new curtains. I like the curtains I have. My grandmother made them.
Okay.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Though we will have to do something if they refuse to change it and if the town can't step in or won't step in.
I think tag teaming start there first.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely will ask my neighbors on the other side because I know their teenage son is on the back corner. It's facing this light. And as I was looking at it last night, oh, yeah, it was bright. I could see in his bedroom. That's how bright the light was up on the third story of their house.
They start there and then get to town.
Oh, we're going to check online to see if there's any kind of a light ordinance. So we're going to do our research first, and then I'll go and talk to my neighbor, Gail.
Because if you have both of you guys going after the guy, then you can, if he doesn't change it, then if you do the town ordinance, he doesn't know which one of you.
Well, I am willing to be responsible for it. I mean, it's really bad. I'll even invite you in so you can see how bad it is on the inside.
Of course.
Because I can imagine if their bedroom was on the back, they wouldn't have this light on because they wouldn't be able to sleep either. And poor Bob, he's the one that sleeps at night 7 nights a week. I'm only there a couple nights a week, but I'm already just fit to be tied thinking about Friday night. Like, no! It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me. We've got the poll up. That you can weigh in on the After Hours game of the week. Sorry, I was giggling because I just saw this tweet from Beer Guy. I'm sure you're the only one who could claim that. Beer Guy 21, he's giving these crooks the opportunity to not need a flashlight. Good point. You're lighting up the whole place for him. Maybe I'll suggest that. Anyway, so yes, blackout curtains, other town ordinance options. I appreciate those. If any of you have ever dealt with a situation like this,
dog,
let me know. A dog. Oh gosh, the dog wouldn't be able to sleep with that light. 855-212-4227. On our Facebook page as well, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, you will notice that we have not chosen the Panthers in their Week 3 matchup as a game of the week. Though I'm sure many of you who are still alive on Survivor Island or your other Survivor pools have in fact picked the Raiders as the team to help you advance to Week 4. It's Panthers in Las Vegas against the Raiders. We know Andy Dalton will start at Allegiant Stadium. Bryce Young making his first public comments since he found out that he was getting benched by Dave Canales and the Panthers. So, yeah, I mean, this is a tough question, but also one that we really want to know the answer to. What was his reaction?
Not something that I was necessarily expecting, and obviously not something that was great to hear. But I respect Coach Canales. I respect the organization. Obviously, they made the decision. And, it's on me to put them in that situation. So again, you know, right now that's the situation that it is. So I have to do everything I can to help the team in whatever way I can.
We know a bunch of his teammates have spoken out in support of him, tried to encourage him, not just privately, but publicly. His career's not over. He will get another shot. Dave Canales has said they're not in any way looking to trade him, unload him, divest themselves of him. But instead, what they want to do is win a game. I mean, that's really all we've gotten. They want to see him develop, I'm sure, but they also do want to find some type of a positive in this, and they feel like the veteran quarterback, Andy Dalton, is better equipped. Now, the offensive line is still a mess. They don't have a lot of skill players around him, and so there's a many issues that the Panthers have to deal with. Remember, this is the third coach or interim head coach that Bryce Young has played under in a year and two games. Essentially, it's been 2 years since he was drafted. So whatever off-season programs, whatever preseason training camp, all of that, I mean, it's been multiple voices. And so to have to adjust to that as a young quarterback, especially when you don't have a ton of talent around you. But the big issue has been the offensive line. And yes, could he make better decisions? Absolutely. There's something to be said for feeling like you have to look over your shoulder. Remember Sam Darnold called it seeing ghosts on Monday Night Football. I mean, you get hit enough times and, oh yeah, there's happy feet. There's the whispers that you hear coming from behind you. You get nervous and you hesitate and you second guess. And so I understand that the situation he's been in has likely caused him some stunted development. It's not been consistent around him with the voices and the leadership. And so now you kind of don't know if you're coming or going. And that, all of that I can understand with a young quarterback, a young anything. You go into a professional situation and you have to deal with what he's had to deal with since he's been there. You could imagine a lot of guys would lose confidence or second guess or just not know what's the right thing to do anymore. But does he feel like this decision came too quickly?
I don't think that's up for me to decide. Again, I had, you know, there's a lot of plays that, you know, for last year in these first two games, every snap hit my hands, and I didn't do enough with it at the end of the day. I take accountability for that. You know, there's plays, there's stuff, there's a long list of things that, you know, I wish I was better at, and I'm going to continue to work to grow and improve on and be better at. So I'm always going to look in the mirror. I don't, you know, circumstances are what they are for not just me, but for everyone. Everyone's dealing with something. Everyone has circumstances. And, you know, if I went out there and played better and we won games, at the end of the day, that falls on me that didn't happen, and we wouldn't be having this conversation.
So he repeatedly expressed that he's grateful to be a Panther, he's grateful to be with the team, and that he needs to be better. He took accountability, took responsibility, and I really appreciate that. But again, you're talking about Frank Reich, who came in with him, who got fired after they started out 1-10. Now you've got a brand new head coach in Dave Canales, and he does point to not doing enough, but behind the scenes, what sources are indicating is that he was mad when this happened. Maybe that's been tempered somewhat by a few days and recognizing that the best way to fix it is to play well, but that he was upset and that he's now open to anything. That's what the sources have indicated, that he's open to anything, even if it means leaving the Panthers. And I could imagine for a lot of those guys, it feels like a toxic situation. And even with the hope of having a new head coach, one that had success as the OC in Tampa, so they were kind of familiar being in the same division, that yeah, there's some guys that if they had other options, they'd be okay with leaving. I feel badly for him. I hope and believe that he will get another chance. The issue is how much damage has been done. It's been a mess. I mean, if you look at the numbers, and I know it's not always fair to look at just quarterback numbers, but if you look at the numbers, in the first two games. So just taking this season, not even looking at last year and including it in the equation, even though, again, you know, last year was bad enough, his QBR, which is another way to measure quarterback metrics, it's different than the passer rating, but his QBR is 9.1, which is among the worst the NFL has ever seen in back-to-back games. And it's unfair to always put it on the quarterback. I tell you all the time that quarterbacks get far too much of the credit when things go right, and they absorb far too much of the blame when things do not. Not everything is the quarterback's fault. Quarterbacks don't win games by themselves. They don't lose games by themselves. At this point, though, his completion percentage is down, way down. He's at 55%. They've had, gosh, no touchdowns, at least passing touchdowns. He did have a rushing touchdown to start the season. He's had three interceptions. The quarterback rate, the passer rating, so not quarterback rating, passer rating is the one that I typically use. It can go up as high as, I think it's 153. That's a 153 point something is a perfect passer rating. In the first game, his was not even 33. In the second game, it was 57. He's been sacked six times. It's just, it's a snowball, kind of an avalanche effect, and it's getting worse and worse. So I feel for him. I do think he handles his business maturely, and I think that he has the right attitude to be able to get another opportunity, earn another opportunity. Guys speak highly of him, and I don't think Andy Dalton is the long-term answer. But at the same time, you've got to start somewhere with a change. And it's drastic, but it was necessary for them to try to come up with a win. A win, and then evaluating after a win, feels so much different. That's what guys say all the time. It's a heck of a lot easier to evaluate all the tough stuff and the stuff that went horribly wrong if you're doing it after a win. And so a win can go a long way, not just for Canales, but for the organization. And so you've got to think about the other guys too, not just the QB. At A-Law Radio, thank you for all your suggestions about the bright, hot, white light that is now illuminating our entire backyard and back of the house, including the master bedroom, because the neighbors are worried about more crime taking place. And I understand, I would be upset too. But for heaven's sakes, it doesn't need to be that bright. My goodness. 855-212-4227. We'll get to some of your calls. Take our poll for game of the week. And at the same time, we're going to get back to a little bit of baseball as well, because Shohei Ohtani, I'm not sure we've ever seen a night like he just had in South Florida on Thursday, but also two more playoff spots clinched on Thursday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I think the mentality is to bounce back, stop this run, and, you know, show people that, you know, you can't stop the run. I think it's definitely a prove-it game when you get a game like this back-to-back.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Micah Parsons wanting the Dallas Cowboys defense to be able to stop the run, and weren't able to do it as much against Alvin Kamara and the Saints. A week ago, they were a disaster defensively, and he said it was a lack of effort on his podcast. So now, against the Ravens, who have Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, and they do want to run the ball, stopping the run will be a major challenge for the Cowboys, although this game is taking place at AT&T Stadium. Now, the Ravens are 0-2. They have started without a win in these first 2 weeks for the first time in nearly a decade, so it's an odd situation for them to be in as well. I'm interested to see how this game unfolds and which team is kind of in more of a desperation mode, if you will. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. putting up the Game of the Week poll on our Facebook page. It's already up at Amy After Hours. And yeah, when you think about Ravens and Cowboys, that's got to be one of the games of the week because of the situation that the two are in. Brandon Cooks recognizing that the Cowboys are facing a tough physical Ravens team.
And you talk about a great team and Baltimore Ravens, who their record is what it is right now. And, you know, ours is, we just came off of, you know, a bad loss. So you're definitely going to see an intense team. That's what the NFL is about.
That certainly is. But every week is like its own microcosm, its own story. It's such a big deal because of all the attention that's put into it, and because these guys will tell you over and over how hard it is to just win one game, right? Just one game. Forget trying to put together a win streak or think about the playoffs at this point of the season. 855-212-4227. Rich is in Baltimore. Rich, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. Nice to talk to you this morning. It's funny. I usually call to talk with you about sports, but I have a solution for your light problem.
Okay.
Because I know you got, you need your sleep so you can be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed to talk about sports with us in early morning. So here's the issue. The light is in your backyard and it's shining bright into your bedroom, correct?
Yes. Now, I don't. I only deal with it on the weekends because I sleep during the daytime during the week. But my my weekend is coming up and I'm a little bit disturbed.
Okay. Easiest thing you can tell your neighbor to do without getting into their face about it is they can put a motion detector on it. That way, if there's any activity in the back, the light goes on. Okay.
Ooh.
They can also put up a baffle so it doesn't shine into your window. In other words, on the side of the light that faces your window, it is just basically, you know, a baffle. It can be a
I don't know what that is.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baffle is basically anything that blocks light that comes from one direction. So the light only shines in one direction towards the garage where a thief would be. But a motion detector is something that can screw in where the light bulb screws in. You can pick them up at Home Depot. And that way, if it detects motion, anything larger than, say, you know, a small cat or something running back there, okay, it'll detect it and turn the light on
so that
it thwarts the thief, okay?
Okay, that I like. I will even offer to buy the motion detector.
Exactly, they're cheap. They're really cheap, like 10 bucks right in Home Depot in the electric department, anywhere in the country you can get it. It screws right in where the light bulb goes, then you screw the bulb into that, and then it detects the motion, and it's done, and problem solved, and you get your sleep.
Okay, but if they don't agree to that, then I wonder if... the baffle. I mean, that was kind of what
I thought. It's no different than what a photographer will use when they're taking professional pictures. But it can be made out of metal, and that way it doesn't shine into, you know, if it's got to stay on all the time. But the fact of it is, it's a waste of energy for it to shine on all the time.
That's true. Thank you.
What it's for, it's a security light. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. I feel better now. I feel not quite so hopeless. Yay. Thank you, Rich.
Yay. I'll catch you again. I'll talk to you about sports. My Ravens are playing against Dallas.
Yep.
And I'm still going to be biting my nails. But I think the real team will show up in Dallas. That's what I'm feeling.
All right, Rich. So, good to talk to you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks again, Amy. Good luck. Let me know how it goes. Let us all know.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Lou is in Louisville. What do you think, Lou?
There is a show on that I watch regularly. It's the Seinfeld show, the reruns.
Yeah.
They have a Kenny Rogers neon sign that's shining through Kramer's room. And it's so funny, he gets to switch the room to Jerry Seinfeld, and they all come out hyper, and they get suntanned from it. But everyone's probably familiar with that episode, but if that doesn't work and you show them the episode of that, knowing that they love you and everything, like we all do.
Oh.
Get a drone.
A drone?
Yes. Get a drone.
These are older people. I don't think they're going to be interested in a drone.
Well, the drone, they might say, well, what's that egg doing in my driveway? and they see the drone and they say, oh. They get the message.
So you know what? It's really funny. My husband's top solution, as long as I give him the green light, I swear he would do it, is a BB gun. Just oopsie. Like, it wouldn't make a lot of noise, right? It would just puncture the light, maybe knock the light out, and then we would be able to feign innocence. We would have, because we have a direct sight of direct line of sight to it from our bedroom window.
Yeah, you'll solve it, though. You're a great problem solver.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
And everything that you do and your antics of your mannerisms and the words that come out of your mouth, you're like an angel.
Lou, you're so kind. I don't think I deserve that, but thank you. Sometimes I say words that angels probably wouldn't say.
Also wanted to talk about that last second kick in the Jets halftime, the first half.
Yeah.
I was depending on the spinner. I was depending on that field goal to go through, and it looked like the Augusta wind had hit it.
Oh.
And just shanked it like that.
It looked more like a spinner to me.
Made me a loser.
Well, you know what? See, there's the thing, is that's why I say gambling is a game of chance, because there's so much that you cannot control. Other people, weather conditions, I mean, there's all kinds of things that make it completely out of your control. And a friend told me once, if you're not a good loser, then don't bet. And I'm a terrible loser. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, we'll continue with more of the football preview, but I did put up the post on Facebook so you can start to weigh in with the game of the week. I kind of like the gift that I chose. Pretty proud of myself. Also, thank you, those of you checking out my new blog. You're very kind with your comments. It was one that I worked on for quite a while, and I'm happy to share it with you now. It's on both Facebook as well as on Twix. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Carlos Ortiz.
Infinity Sports Network, Sports Flash.
All right, Amy, well, it finally happened. The moment Jets fans have been waiting for since last year.
Rodgers under center, Hall in the backfield. Rodgers, quick toss to the left side. It's caught by Lazard. Makes a man miss. Lazard's still going. He's in. Touchdown. The Jets strike first. Lazard breaks away. Alex Austin couldn't bring him down. It's a 10-yard touchdown. Rodgers to Lazard.
Iron Eagle on Westwood 1. Aaron Rodgers throws his first touchdown as a Jet in MetLife, and they absolutely dominate the Patriots 24-3. Rodgers finishing with 281 yards and two scores. Panthers quarterback Bryce Young spoke today for the first time since getting benched, and though he was surprised by the decision, he says he respected head coach Dave Canales and has taken things day by day. Vikings wide receiver Justin Jefferson, limited in practice while dealing with a quad injury, believes he will be good to go on Sunday versus Houston. And baseball, forget about the 40-40 club.
And the pitch coming to Shohei Ohtani. He swings, hits a drive to left. This ball's back. There it is. 50, the first player in the history of Major League Baseball to have a 50-50 season. He is incredible.
Tim Neverett, Dodgers Radio. Ohtani becomes the first player to join the 50-50 club with 51 home runs and 51 stolen bases as the Dodgers fillet the Marlins 20-4. Finals include Mets clubbing the Phillies 10-6, Braves roll past the Reds 15-3, Guardians top the Twins 3-2, Blue Jays blank the Rangers 4-0, Mariners edge the Yankees 3-2, Rays double the Red Sox 4-2, Pirates push past the Cardinals 3-2, Orioles knock off the Giants 5-3, Cubs beat the Nationals 7-6, and the Astros over the Angels 3-1. Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian announced quarterback Arch Manning will make his first start on Saturday night against Louisiana Monroe. Quinn Ewers still recovering from an injured oblique. And in the WNBA, Diana Taurasi gets a curtain call as the Mercury played their final home game of the regular season, with WNBA postseason starting on Sunday. I'm Carlos Ortiz.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
Vikings from their own three. Darnold under center. Play action to Jones. Back to pass. Bosa picked up. Deep shot. Jefferson. Yes! Caught at the 50. Hit
one to the 40. Cuts back to the 25. Heads to the right. He's trying to outrun the Niners. To the 5. Touchdown! A 97-yard touchdown from Sam Darnold to Justin Jefferson.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Vikings Radio Network, that was your choice for touchdown of the week for good reason. Darnold chucked it from his end zone 60 yards up in the air, a looping arc down to Justin Jefferson behind the defense on the other side. Longest touchdown of the season for the Vikings, and it was a dazzler. Now, not long after that, Jefferson had to leave the game with what appeared to be a bruised leg, a bruised quad. And the game went on without him. The Vikings end up winning, but questions about whether or not he would be available this week as they face an undefeated Texans team. So Jefferson was answering questions himself on Thursday.
Feels great. Every day it feels a lot better. So, just taking it day by day, staying in the treatment room and just working with those guys to make sure that I'm feeling, fantastic, Sunday.
I like the 1-2 punch of the Jefferson ability to get separation, to get behind the defense. Also, Jalen Naylor has had a pair of touchdowns early, too. And then Aaron Jones. Let's not forget that he is now a member of the purple and white, which still jarring to me to see him in the same division, but wearing a completely different uniform, kind of like a Brett Favre, right? San Francisco was unable to score more than 17 points, though they were missing guys from their O-line, not having Christian McCaffrey. Also, Deebo Samuel now injured, too, so their road has taken a drastic turn. George Kittle didn't practice on Thursday either, so we'll wait for that final report to come out, injury report for the Niners as they face the Rams, who are equally banged up to start the season. But this is about the Vikings and the fact that they have an opportunity here. They coming out of the gates, this was expected to be the Lions division. At the Packers, of course, at the end of last season or second half of last season, the way they performed in Dallas in that playoff game, for those two teams to compete for the NFC North title. But every year, roughly half the playoff field turns over, and in the NFC North, we may not have it pegged completely right. The Bears, they've got the defense, they've got the special teams. Caleb Williams, not that different than really any other rookie quarterback trying to figure it out. C.J. Stroud certainly had a terrific rookie season overall, but there were games where you could tell that he was a rookie. And so now you've got these Vikings who were expecting to have a J.J. McCarthy they'd be bringing along, but maybe this takes some of the pressure off. It's Sam Darnold's team. There's no quarterback competition. Don't have to worry about it. He looks like he's fresh and he's excited about this new challenge and new opportunity. And again, maybe there is something to be said for him not having to worry about how long he's quote unquote keeping the seat warm. Now it's his job indisputably. And he and Justin Jefferson and Jalen Naylor and others can develop a rhythm. The O-line's been good, too. So we like where the Vikings are now. Could they possibly change the narrative about that division? Ooh, or maybe it's going to be one of the tougher divisions in football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As for the Texans, we know what their defense did last week. I know that the game, it was Sunday night game, right, that we had with the Texans. And the Bears, yeah. And so, as I was just talking about the Bears, Texans and the Bears. And if I remember correctly, nobody scored a touchdown in the second half. There were just a couple field goals in the second half. But the defense was absolutely terrific, really making Caleb Williams' life miserable. And so if the Texans can beat you a variety of ways, well, that's great, right? They hold the Bears to just 13 points, and it was the number of times they were able to get to Caleb Williams, and he was slippery. I mean, they could have easily come up with double-digit sacks had it not been for Caleb's mobility and the fact that he was able to slip out of a couple of other potential sacks. 7 sacks overall, and they hit him 11 more times. They also picked him off twice. So he got harassed by that Texans defense, and that's what we heard from D'Amico Ryans, how excited he was about the D. Really meant that the offense didn't have to do a whole lot, but certainly they're a big performance for Nico Collins, the 8 catches, over 100 yards, and a touchdown, and a lot of balance with the offense, too. A lot of different guys who were running the ball. Now, Joe Mixon, he was upset about a hip drop tackle and feeling like he was a victim of that and did not play the whole game. He was kind of in and out once he got his ankle retaped. Cam Akers had the fumble, but they have so many different guys that can contribute on the offensive side that it's really about balance and keeping guys involved and keeping guys engaged, right? So that is one of our candidates for After Hours Game of the Week. We've got that poll up at Amy After Hours also now on our Facebook page, and I personally picked the GIF. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. As for the Bears, this week taking on the Colts. Now, this is not one of our games that's in the poll, but you can certainly write in, vote yourself. We're always up for debate and up for suggestions. But the Colts are hosting the Chicago Bears, and Jonathan Taylor, he's pretty familiar with that Matt Eberflus defense.
For us, it benefits us. Like, we kind of know his tendencies in certain situations down and distance. Of course, like you said, he can change things up, but we kind of have a feel for what he likes to do, when he likes to do it. So it kind of gives us a sense of anticipation, allows us to play that much faster. But we still got to be aligned, have our alignment, assignment, and technique, because he definitely has some things schemed up on defense that we got to make sure we're ready for.
Looking forward to that one, just because it's so early in the year. Every single game has pretty unique questions about it. How about the Los Angeles Chargers and Justin Herbert going, well, him and his offense with an entirely new core of receivers around him going against that Mike Tomlin defense for the Steelers that's been pretty stingy to start the season?
The toughness, the grit, competing against a Mike Tomlin team, it's just... and it pulls it out of you. Nothing but respect. Tremendous football coach.
I like it. Jim Harbaugh, of course, his second stint in the NFL. This is not his first rodeo.
It pulls it out of you.
And he went to 3 straight NFC championship games, as well as a Super Bowl with the Niners when he was there in the NFC West. And these guys all know each other really well. So, the Chargers offense is getting settled in with different weapons. The Mike Tomlin offense, so the defense, we know it's got a bunch of veterans. The offense is still a work in progress. I guess we haven't heard definitively whether or not it will be Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, but I guess no news means that we stick with the status quo, right? So at some point, I'm sure we will hear, but what the defense for the Steelers will have to deal with is not just Justin Herbert, Justin, who can make throws all over the field. But how about J.K. Dobbins, who is, through 2 weeks, already the leader in the NFL with 266 rushing yards. He's had some pretty dynamic touchdowns. He's broken a few really long runs. So that's the challenge from the defense of the Steelers to the Chargers offense. Now, the other way around, Mike Tomlin knows they're going to have to deal with Dobbins and deal with the running backs for the Chargers.
Obviously, J.K. and Gus got a lot to do with that. Guys that have played within this scheme and understand what he's trying to get done and have talents that fit that scheme. It's going to be a big challenge for us. I mean, they're running to and through defenses.
Always good to hear Mike Tomlin. Now, the last we heard from him about the quarterbacks was just that they were considering the way he put it. Oh my gosh, we need
and
to.
And if his participation gets to a level in participation and quality where we should consider him, we'll delve into that at that time. And obviously, when that happens is a component of the consideration.
That's right. It's a component of the consideration. Absolutely. Now, this is a matchup that's been highlighted in a couple of different places that I've been reading about this game, and I am looking forward to it. Of course, TJ Watt, he's a cheat code. I mean, what he can do out there, the creativity, the strength, the explosiveness, the energy. I mean, it's phenomenal to watch him work. Well, he's going against, or maybe not the entire game, but will likely end up across the line from the top draft pick for the Chargers, their right offensive tackle, Joe Alt. And this is the guy out of Notre Dame who was taken in the top five in this most recent NFL draft. He's only 21, so welcome to the NFL rookie. Though early on, he's done a great job at what he's been asked to do. But TJ Watt is TJ Watt. This is a different animal, and you very rarely can stop him at all or slow him down with just one dude, right? So it takes multiple bodies a lot of times to try to stunt his progress. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I guess I should mention about Herbert. At this point, still think he's going to play, but he did miss some practice time because of his ankle. However, they're not expecting that he's going to miss this game, and this is in Pittsburgh. So it'll be interesting to see how the fans greet the offense. They only have one touchdown this season. Wondering if there will be overwhelming support or if it will be the smattering of boos, because the last couple of years have been kind of tough offensively for the Steelers fans and, well, for the team on the field as well.
You know, none of your businesses.
They're also still reworking the offensive line, if you will, and that's a work in progress, too. I don't love the idea of booing at all, really, but so early in the season when we know it's a race to consistency. What is the After Hours game of the week? You can find that poll on either of our social media sites. Getting back to the Jets and Patriots, after the top of the hour, I still think it's probably way too early to be answering questions or asking questions, but even having to answer questions about the Patriots quarterbacks, even though Jerod Mayo played the final series for the Pats and was in there for about 4.5 minutes, he had a couple of sacks. They said he moved the ball, made a couple of completions. Great, that's all. But think about the Jets defense is likely not bringing it to the hilt when the game is all but done. However, the questions will persist. But as we're talking about offensive lines, bad idea, I still say, to put Drake May behind that offensive line. And really what Jerod Mayo is concerned about is the defense. And he says, I got to look myself in the mirror first. But yeah, I mean, there was plenty of conversation about putting Drake May in at the end of the game.
I just thought it was an opportunity, a good opportunity for him to go out there with the ones and put a few drives together. He moved the ball. We'll watch the film and evaluate.
Well, it wasn't a few drives. It was a really long drive, right? It was the final 4.5 minutes, unless I'm missing something. But it was might have been 18 snaps on that particular drive. It was quite a long possession for them. And they did get into the red zone. Wait, I'm going to confirm it just because I want to make sure I'm not giving you false info. Let's see. Oh, 16 plays. Sorry. 16 plays, 46 yards, 4 minutes and 24 seconds. So, yeah, able to see what he could do with the ones, but not against a defense that was baring its teeth, you know what I mean? We'll do more on this game coming up after Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.